Thank you, Brian. Yeah, we're good. I'll keep this. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Is everybody cool?
Yeah. It's just like dog.
Mixed feelings here, huh? Jesus said he'd rather have us hot or cold.
That's right.
Be on fire for Jesus or... Anyway, praise the Lord. Well, hey, I want to mention again prayer tonight. We are going to still have prayer on Zoom. We can't let up on prayer right now. We are in a spiritual warfare in this nation, and there are prayer meetings that are still meeting tonight all around the country. We are also going to do that. We're in serious times, and we need to step in and be the warriors that God has called us to be. And so if you are able to be on Zoom tonight or you don't know how, you can talk to Amy. She'll show you how to get on there. But it's a fast hour, and a lot of people, you know, they'll sit and watch an hour's worth of program on Sunday night. Well, we could even be praying for an hour, couldn't we?
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to remember to do that. But this morning, Crossfire is a church that we do a lot of mission work here.
Yes.
Amen. All around the world. Yeah. And I just happened to meet a wonderful young couple here about a week and a half ago. And I just really appreciate them. I listen to their hearts. I like to meet people who that we are thinking about supporting. And after visiting with them, they really love Jesus, don't you? I mean, they have a love for Jesus. They want to get the gospel out and spread the good news of Jesus. And that thrilled me. And so we want to continue. The monies that come into Crossfire Assembly, we don't spend it on frivolous things, anything that is unnecessary. We put it into the gospel because we want people to get born again and saved. We want the hurting, the crying, the dying ministered to. And that's where we focus the monies going to it. And so I met with my board last week, and I discussed it with them too. And we all agreed that Crossfire Assembly, I'm going to let you know this in advance, that we are going to support this young couple. And I'm not going to say anything about their ministry. They're going to come up and introduce that. But I'm excited about it, and you're going to be part of it. And so I'm going to invite Isaac and Mia up here and let them introduce themselves again and talk whatever. Amen? So come on up.
Wow, thank you so much, you Pastor. I've never had a pastor say talk about whatever, so this is quite the invitation. So everyone... No, okay. So we're Isaac and Mia Van Prosdy. We got our three boys with us here today. Zion is 5, Soren is 3, and Ari is 2. Did I get them right? Yes. I asked because I got them wrong one time. I said two of them were within a year of each other, and people looked a little startled. So it's good to see everyone. I'm just going to quickly share a little bit about how we ended up in this spot, and then Mia is going to talk a little bit more about our ministry, and we'll kind of tag team it because it's better that way, because our whole family is involved with this missionary work that we feel like the Lord has called us to. I'm from southeast Minnesota, a small town called Austin. If you've ever had Spam before, you can thank us. We fed the troops in World War II, I guess. And so that was awesome to learn about. Spam Museum, it's free if you want to go there. Yeah, if you want to try it, I don't have any with me. I'm not as... If you're from there, you don't care about it as much, I guess. But we met at North Central University. We were both there pursuing ministry. I was pursuing a degree in music ministry, and Mia in missions and intercultural studies. And just so happened that we run into each other, and we got engaged, got married, and we moved out to Detroit. And we were young adult pastors in Detroit, Michigan for about 4 years. And then just felt like the Lord was telling us we were on to our new season of life and moved here. And we're like, Lord, we've always been passionate about missions. We've always wanted to go overseas and reach people for you on university campuses. You know, is this our time? Can we finally move overseas? And the Lord said no. And so we got involved in a local church here, and then I ended up working at North Central University in student development, overseeing student organizations. And so you can kind of see the Lord's sense of humor in all this. And so after a little while doing that, we had someone approach us from our pastor, our senior pastor. And our senior pastor had been sharing for a long time that there's four different community schools and tech colleges in our area that the church, our local churches, aren't doing anything to reach. And he talked about Anoka Ramsey Community College, Anoka Technical College, North Hennepin Community College, and Hennepin Tech. And just sharing, like, between those four schools, that's over 20,000 students that graduate, and then they either transfer to a state school or they stay in the community. And so what are we doing to reach them while they're in that pivotal moment of their life? And I went to a community college. I remember my first class, Intro to Logic, the professor is like, "How many of you believe in God?" Oh, what a waste of time. My very first class, and before he even gave us the syllabus, that's what he said. And I'm just like, "How many of you are Christian? Raise your hands." Like, "Oh, that's a waste of time. I wouldn't do that if I were you." I was like, man. So that was my experience. And so we had this pastor reach out to us. He's like, "I know you and Mia want to go overseas and you want to plant churches and reach university students, but why not do that here? Why not consider maybe the Lord has called you here for this season to do that on our U.S. soil?" And so we prayed about it for a long time. Said no at first and then prayed about it again. And, you know, the Lord plays the long game. He's not a short game necessarily type of person all the time. And so we ended up saying yes. We got appointed as directors within Chi Alpha that Miel will explain more about. And right after we got appointed, then COVID started and the world shut down. And we had all these opportunities to speak at the denomination we're affiliated with. They had all these big gatherings planned for us to be able to promote, and none of them happened. And yet we still were able to raise enough money to be able to start. And so we've been able to go through a whole semester at Anoka Ramsey with students, and I'll pass it off to let Mia explain a little bit more about what Chi Alpha is.
So just to explain what Chi Alpha is, you probably got kind of an idea that we work with college students. So Chi Alpha is an organization through the Assemblies of God denomination that really just focuses on reaching secular colleges and universities for Christ. And so we want to have a Christian presence on campus. And actually, out of three out of the four of our schools that we're going to be reaching, we're the only thing there. We're the only Christian presence on the campus. So students don't have like a choice to go to like different Christian clubs. Like, we're it for our campus. And so we just really just value this opportunity to be able to witness to college students and see college students have the opportunity to get to know Jesus on their campus, because a lot of them aren't walking through the doors of the church. But if you are there at their campus, if you're going to the places where they are, you have the opportunity to be able to reach them with the hope of Jesus and give them that opportunity to be able to choose Jesus and allow him to change their life. And so with Chi Alpha, the name kind of sounds a little, we get asked sometimes, "Are you a sorority? Are you a fraternity? What are you?" And so Chi Alpha does come from Greek, but it comes from the Greek Christ's ambassadors. And so with that, we believe that we're Christ's ambassadors. And so if you call yourself a Christian, then we believe that we're also sent. That part of following Christ and part of being an ambassador for Christ is representing him well wherever we go. And so we want to encourage students that when you call yourself a Christian, that's not just for you in your church or in your house where you're doing your devotional life, but that's to really live out. That's to really share the gospel with others, to walk alongside others, and to disciple them. And so we just see the college campus as such a strategic place of ministry, because that's where a lot of students are choosing their careers. They're choosing, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? They're figuring out, who am I going to date? Who am I going to marry? And all of those decisions impact for years to come. And so we want to give students the opportunity to choose Jesus and to find Jesus in those moments. And so part of Chi Alpha is kind of twofold. One of the things we want to do is we want to protect the investment that churches have made into the lives of students. So statistics show that 60% of students who have grown up in the church will walk away from their faith when they attend a college campus, when they attend like a secular college or a secular university. And of that 60%, 90% of those students walk away in the first month. They stop attending church. They stop, you know, trying to find a faith community. And so we want to be there to help those students who have maybe grown up in the church, grown up in youth group, to be able to have something to connect to on their college campus right away, to really continue to walk with them through discipleship, to be able to continue to walk with them and encourage them in their faith. But the other part of that is we're not just there to help kids who have come from youth group. We want to see new students reached with the gospel. We want to see other students presented with the opportunity to follow Jesus. And so that's a little bit about what Chi Alpha is and why we do what we do.
So just as Mia shared about being sent out, we also believe, not to start preaching, but that's true for all of us. And so for all of you, like, where is God sending you in your life, in your moment? Is it your workplace? Is it your neighborhood? Is it people you run into when you go to grocery store on a regular basis? Like, God is sending you to reach people in your area too. And so he has called us to do it in this way, and he's calling you in the same. And so as we talk a little bit about our ministry, we just want to share with you just what God has been doing over the last semester. And so up until last semester, we were just raising funds to be able to go full-time onto Anoka Ramsey Community College and just try to engage with students, engage with churches in the local area to be like, hey, who is attending this school that we can start discipling? And so we were able to, at the start of last semester in January, I took one student on a Chi Alpha conference up to Alexandria, Minnesota to get away. And there's a lot more established Chi Alphas at the University of Minnesota, Duluth and Twin Cities and Winona and St. Cloud and NDSU and UND. So all those schools went to Alexandria to do a little retreat to hear from the Lord in January before the school year got going. And I brought this one student with me, and when he saw, I think it was like 470 students there, and everyone there, like, they don't go to Chi Alpha because their parents make them, or, you know, they're there because they want to be there. And so he's like, I've never seen people my age, like, this excited to, like, be in Christian community, to check in with each other, because you sit at random tables for meals, and so he just overhears students that know each other talking about, like, oh man, small group last month was so great. And I'm not just saying that, like, that's the types of conversations they're having. So I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is discipleship, like, in real life, and it's really cool to see. And that really struck a chord with him, and so I asked him, I mean, I had 5 hours in the car there and back with him, and so I didn't turn the radio on. We talked and asked him, like, what was your experience like at that conference or that retreat? And the student's like, I really want that for our campus. I want to see students. I want next year in January to be able to, like, bring people from my school there and have them give testimonies and get baptized, because students, you know, in front of all their friends and peers, they would share what their life was like before Christ, and then they would get baptized by one of the Chi Alpha staff. And it was just a really powerful moment. And so that struck a chord. And so we started with one student in January. And then when we wrapped up the semester in May, we had 10 students that were actively involved in our group. Even with some of the COVID restrictions for Anoka Ramsey, we weren't allowed to do anything on campus. And so another church in the area, just like your guys' generosity, they said, hey, you know, we can't support you financially, but you could use our facility whenever you want. If you need that, if you're not allowed to do anything on campus, we'll open our doors to you. If you want to do an event with us, that's great. And so we were able to still meet as a group, and we did a large group together. We did small groups together, and typically small groups aren't as well attended as your main gathering. But for us, every single student that was actively involved out of those 10, they all participated in a small group during the semester, which was great. And then at the end of the semester, our last time together, we had two students that were graduating, either right then or they're taking their last class over the summer. So we did a celebration for the seniors. And then at the end, we had all the students in a circle, and we just asked, hey, what was your takeaway from this semester? What was your favorite thing about Chi Alpha? And some of them talked about a race that we did as a fundraiser with another initiative called 30 for Freedom. It was a special race to end human trafficking in our lifetime, and they really connected with that. And then a majority of the other students said their main takeaway was they just loved their small group because it was challenging them to talk about Christ with their family or with friends. Because for us, we believe, like, a true litmus test of how your faith is can you lead someone to Christ and then have them lead another person to Christ? It's not just about making disciples. It's about making disciples who then make disciples. Like for Paul, it wasn't enough to get Timothy saved. It was, Timothy, are you getting people saved? Because if I have to do all the work through you, then, you know, I don't know how serious you are. But if you're starting to do it, then we know we're onto something. And so that's our goal as we continue to move on. And Mia's just going to share a couple more things for you about what we hope to see in this next semester.
So just to share a little bit about the small group structure that we followed, we did something from, it's called Discovery Bible Study Method. And it was just really, it seems overly simple when you look at it, because it's, you read like a couple of verses of scripture together, and every week you answer the same four questions, which sounds really repetitive. You answer the question, what does this scripture show us about God? What does this scripture show us about people? If I believe that this is true, what in my life needs to change to be more obedient to what the Bible says? And then the last one is, who will you tell? So to really get that ingrained in students, like, it's not just for you to keep to yourself. You don't read the Bible and keep it to yourself. You need to then take it out and share it with others and be thinking about, who in my life can I begin the journey of discipleship with? Who do I have influence with that I can begin this process? And so students were really just moved by that. And towards the end of the semester, we started to have like more conversations, because a lot of students had maybe grown up in a church but hadn't ever shared their faith. And so students were having a lot of questions. Well, like, how do I share this? How do I approach a conversation? So it was really good to just get that started and see students really connecting with it and thinking, okay, now that we're talking about it, how do I actually apply it? And so that was really encouraging. And we even had some students say, this has changed the way that I'm reading my Bible now during the week. Like, I used to think I had to read like three chapters at a time to really like count that as devotions. And now I'm recognizing the Lord can speak and scripture can speak, even if it's just a short passage, even if it's just a few verses. So we saw students actually getting in their Bibles more and actually like being able to apply and understand what scripture was saying better. Just using this method. So that was just really exciting to just see the change and see people excited to read their Bibles. Because there's a lot of biblical illiteracy now, especially with millennials and Gen Z that we're seeing. So we're just excited to see students excited to read their Bibles. And so moving forward next semester, we're hoping that as restrictions lift, we'll be able to be on campus more, which will give us more opportunities to just interact with more students. I'm personally really excited. The student we have to be our club president for next semester, she is from Lebanon, and so her family moved here in 2020 to get away from just all the unrest that was happening there. And so for her this year, Chi Alpha was the first experience she's had to be able to interact with other students and to be able to like make friends, because she moved here in 2020, so everything's shut down and she just didn't have the opportunity to like really make friends. And so this has been her first opportunity since moving to America to actually like build community and actually start friendships. And one of the things we're really passionate about on our campus is we have a lot of international and immigrant students. And when we talked to our faculty advisor, one of the things he said was that there was such a, because of a lot of online classes, a lot of students who are from other countries or English isn't their first language, a lot of them are really having a hard time just doing well in their classes, especially online, because they need that practice. They need help with their English. And so one of the things we're hoping to do is just have more of a presence with our international and immigrant students. We want to be able to start some English conversation clubs and start friendships with students. So I'm excited to have a student who moved from another country. She's been through it. She knows what it's like to try to adapt to a new culture. And so I'm so excited to be able to work closer with her and begin to just figure out what can that look like for our group. And so we're just excited to continue to grow in our small group ministry and continue to have large groups and be on our campus. And yeah, we just would love to invite you guys to just pray for us as the semester begins. Pray for creativity. A lot of the Chi Alphas that we've seen in the past have been at four-year colleges. So reaching technical schools and community colleges are a lot different. You don't get students as long. There's no on-campus dorm life. So it just looks a lot different. So we would love prayer for just creativity in our ministry and how to reach students and how to effectively just preach the gospel to them. We'd love prayer for opportunities just to be on campus. Our school has been kind of strict with their policies for allowing us on campus. So we would just love prayer for just opportunities to have good relationships with the staff and faculty, that we would not be seen with fear by them, but that we would be seen as a club and a group that truly loves and wants to invest in the students on this campus. And so those are just a couple of things we would love it if you guys could join us in prayer for.
And then just being guests here, just want to speak it over. You guys as a group, like this church in particular, you guys just have such a genuine love for the Lord. Like, it's easy to tell being someone that has never met you guys, well, besides you, met you guys before in our life. Like, sitting around you and just, there's such a genuine, like, man, God is doing great things. And I'm just purely excited to see that. I don't care if it's in my four walls, but it's happening, and that's getting me excited. Like, that's obvious to tell by being with you guys. And so I feel like you guys have been praying for us without even praying for us, if that makes sense. Like, there's been things that have happened in our ministry just because you guys are like, God, do something in our neighborhood. And it's just obvious to tell. Can you tell? I don't want to put you on the spot. So I just want to, like, encourage you guys with that. It's really exciting to see. And if you have any sort of connection to these schools, we can give you a visual list of the four schools we're at again. But if you have any sort of connection to them, either you were there at one point, so you could say a little bit about what it's like to be a student there, or you have a son or a daughter, a grandson, granddaughter that attend there, or maybe someone that works there part-time. The hardest thing is just to make that first connection. And then once you make that first connection, things just start to click, and you start learning all these different groups of students. And our main in with Anoka Ramsey was because a youth pastor referred one of his old students that was graduating to us, and he ended up being a very core person for us to connect with more students. So just be praying about that, and just thank you so much for your time, and just hope you guys got to know us a little bit better in our ministry. So thank you.
Amen.
Mark, Dan, Fred, Rick, let's pray over this young folks. Here, we'll just put that over here. Doesn't that make you want to join college, just get involved with it, huh?
I want to go to college.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this young couple here that are willing to dedicate their life to serve you, to reach people for Jesus. Lord, this time of the world in which we live, this generation, millennial generation, especially right now, Father, so desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, it excites me to know that you're raising young people like this up, Father, that want to go in and spend time and to reach these young people for Jesus. So Lord, I ask that you would allow them to find favor in whatever they do, Lord. Open doors that no man can shut. Shut doors that no man can open, Father, against them. And Lord, we just ask that you give them wisdom from heaven's throne. Give them their understanding and the knowledge they need to go forth. And Father, we just thank you. We speak the precious blood of Jesus over them. We pray that the power of the Holy Spirit moving through them will influence many, many young hearts, Father, in the days ahead, should Jesus tarry. And we commit them to you as a church family right now. And Lord, we desire to support them, to be part of what they're doing and reaching the lost in this generation. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Are you going to be around for a little bit? Yeah, you're going to be for the rest of... Okay, in case we have questions for you. Great. Thank you very much, Mia and Isaac. That was great. And your little guy there, he didn't get scared of me at all. He didn't run up. Of course, he hadn't heard me preach yet, but... Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. And you know, when I said whatever, I knew you have the Holy Ghost in you. So I figured it had to be something that the Lord would want us to hear.
Yes.
So praise the Lord. But anyway, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad you all here. And those that are not here today that are traveling or are ill or whatever, social media in the church here, we just hold them all up in prayer right now and ask that the power of the Holy Spirit touch each and every one of them also. Protect them, heal them, and meet their needs. Amen. And Lord, we just ask for your anointing this morning. We ask that the Holy Spirit just speak to each one of our hearts today. And help us to be the people of God. Help us to be on fire for you, Lord. And we just give you the praise and the glory. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Happy Father's Day, Heavenly Father. We thank you for meeting every need we have as a church here. Thank you for this property, this building, Lord. You gave it to us because you're a loving Heavenly Father, a good Father. And we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father's Day 2022. What was it? May 8th was Mother's Day, right? We still love the mothers, right? Praise the Lord. So, first, I want to start out by saying in this society that we're living today, speaking again mostly to fathers today, but I know that the ladies in here really want to hold up fathers, right? Yeah. Men. And we're in a generation where the masculinity is trying to be taken away from men through organizations, through whatever, and to make a man effeminate in his life. We're watching that happen in our nation. And so today, I want to start out with Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust out of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Yes. God created man, amen? Amen? God didn't make any mistakes. He created man, and he created woman. He did not make any mistakes. And then I want to switch over real quickly and just read in 1 Peter 3:7 also. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them," speaking to your wife, "according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel." Now, don't get mad at me. God put that in his word. The weaker vessel. "And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered."
Yes, yes, yes.
How are you treating your wife? That could be one reason. Maybe some prayers are not answered. We got to ask ourselves that, don't we? And so I want to touch on that. In the, I added to my Father's Day title, not just Father's Day, but I added another part on, is act like men. Act like men. Are you going to be able to handle this today, guys? It's pretty tough. So, in summary, to act like men who are part of the cure is to stay awake, to stand in the faith, to be strong, and to do everything with love. So, 2 Timothy, you know, Paul encouraged young Timothy to be a good soldier of the cross. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 4, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." Did you get that? God chose us. We didn't choose him. To be what?
Good soldiers.
Good soldiers. We're to be soldiers. Did you know that we're soldiers? Military term? We're in a warfare. We're in a spiritual warfare. We are soldiers of the cross. Paul encouraged his young son that. When a man acts like a man, he becomes part of the cure to a confused world in chaos. And we're in chaos.
Yes. Right.
The question is, what does it mean to act like a man? How can a man believe in order to display the way God made him? You see the attack on men today too?
Terrible.
Huh? You see that? Yeah, it's all around us right now. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 just for a short verse there and start it out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verses 13 and 14 says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love." I'm going to read that once more. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong, and do everything in love. I looked at the English Standard Version and interprets the word courageous there as act like men. So I'm going to use that terminology. I thought that was good. There are four commands here that describe the middle command to be courageous or to act like men. But first, what does it mean to act like a man? First, number one, stay awake. Watch out for dangers around you. We have to be on the alert constantly of what's going on around us. I was thinking of Isaac and Mia as they go into even a college situations, all the different things and all the young people that are involved in things that even mom and dad don't know about that they got themselves into, and they need hope. And guess what? God sends raise up missionaries to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, keep your eyes open. Stay alert to what's going on around you. Begin to watch out for the dangers that are in our world today. And young people are being so influenced by the terrible filth that's going on in our nation right now, making them believe what is not true. Like a night watchman, stay awake to those who might want to break in and steal your children's minds and all that you value. And they're doing it. And we need to be alert. We need to be steadfast and stay awake on what's happening in our society today as men. We are to act like men. I wanted to say this too. I don't apologize for my masculinity. God created me that way. Jesus is the perfect divine depiction of manhood, and he defines true masculinity. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to read the Word of God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
We want to emulate Jesus. Avoid being lulled into carelessness. We need to avoid that. Know what your children are learning in school or what they're watching in their electronic devices. We need to be aware of that, what's going on. They're being influenced in many different areas. I just watched something on the internet yesterday that is unbelievable, but it was a drag queen dancing before middle school children. All the teachers and all the children are in there, and this person was dancing around, flaunting, and all these young children, these mush minds, sitting there along with the full-grown adult men and women, teachers, clapping for this person. And as this man was going around, shaking hands with all the children, making them think that this is such an awesome thing to do. Man, we've got work to do. We've got work. We need to stand against that and speak out about it in our homes and in your work, wherever. If they're flaunting it, stand against it. That's a soldier. That's the thing that's going to tear our society apart if men don't start becoming men. Amen? So we're to keep our eye out for the destructive forces that ruin people's lives. That's your job as a man, my job as a man, to protect my family and to watch out for those dangers that would try to creep in to my life or into my family's life or into anybody else's if God leads me that way. We've slacked off as the church. Life is made up of a series of moments, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a few of those moments will change your life and the lives of others forever. Forever. Your responsibility, Mian, Isaac, is so incredible. I envy you in the sense that to be able to go do that myself, too. I would love it. to go minister the gospel to these young people. And many of them, I believe right now, I agree with you in your introduction. I believe right now many of them are hurting inside and they're looking for answers. And guess what? Hope is on the way. Yes. Not by some worldly thing and entertainment going on, but God is raising up men and women of God to go in and to reach these young people before their lives are totally destroyed. And aren't you glad, Crossfire, that we are going to be part of that?
Amen.
That's what we're all about. We get to, how many love young people? How many know you were young once?
Yes.
I love them even more than I think about that. But I tell you what, we have an opportunity right now to partner and to go in and to reach these young people for Jesus Christ. And if they so will, and you can correct me if I say this improperly, but if we open doors, Crossfire's open for whatever needs you have in the future. And we want to partner with you.
Yeah.
We want young people to come in here. We want them to sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we want to see God do a new work at Crossfire through youth. This is our first opportunity that we've had to reach youth. Yeah. And it's here. And I believe God connected us for a purpose and a reason. Yes. I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yes.
I'm excited to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, you don't know which moment is going to be a game changer in their life or in your life either. Moment by moment, things happen. So stay awake. Be alert. Be conscientious of what's being said and going around. Avoid slacking off and give thought and prayer to every decision that you make in life. Don't take it for granted. Many people in the church today become lazy and apathetic and complacent in their serving the Lord. They're not aware what's going on around. And the enemy is at work. We're in a spiritual warfare. And I'm believing God to raise up men of God.
Amen.
Fathers that are standing in their homes, standing for what's right and not apologizing. God didn't call fathers to be buddies when our kids are little. He called us to be fathers. Amen?
Amen.
We're to stand, we're to lead, to direct, and to protect our families and not be ashamed of it. And we need to do that. That's what homes need. Not to be dictators, but to be loving fathers that will come in and guide and lead their family and not deter from the Word of God. We train them in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it means to act like a man. And the second one is stand in the faith. Be resolute in your commitment to Christ. Remain steadfast in the gospel. We need more men of God to act like men. And when you go out into society and in your homes, live like a born-again Christian man. Guide your home. Speak the truth. Be a witness in the restaurants. Be a witness wherever you go. And act like a man. The world needs to see men today walking around and being men. And young boys need to see growing men acting like men and not being ashamed of who they are, especially when you are in Christ.
Yes.
Persevere in the good news of the life in Christ who died for you and rose again. Stand for your faith. Be a witness. Don't be ashamed. Don't let the world control you when you're out in the world. I've been out there many times and they'll try to put you under. But when you stand up and say, I'm a born again Christian, it gets really quiet. It gets really quiet. And they're afraid to do what they want to say or do. Because if anybody wants to tell me a dirty joke or swear in front of me, they better be ready to hear the gospel.
Yes, yes.
That's where we need to be salt and light, men. Amen.
Yes.
Fathers, we need to be that in the home too. We need not compromise the word of God in our homes, on our internets, on our televisions, whatever. We should stay in the word of God and guide our families. Life is hard. Pressures come in, and I understand all of that. But we need to stand in our faith. Acting like real man is impossible today, I believe, without Christ. You must surrender to Him. In order for Him to work through and in you, you need to be surrendered to Jesus Christ. And if you're not, you're really missing it anyway. Not only do you have a guarantee of an eternal home when you commit your life to Christ, but you have someone literally helping and guiding you to be that man that God wants you to be. Or I'll even put mommies in there since that was May 8th. We had Mother's Day to help a woman of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. We all need leadership, don't we? There's got to be leadership. We all have a position that God has placed us. But Christ is the head of man. And we're to look to him for our help. And you must live your life dependent upon him if you want to be all that God has called you to be as a man of God. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And then it goes on in Luke 1:37, the Bible also says, for with God nothing is impossible. That's where we put our trust and our dependence as men of God. And sometimes leading a home can be difficult as our children are growing and they're going through rebellious stages and things like that. We need the help and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God to help us to make the decision and how to deal with the enemy that is trying to bring destruction to their young lives. Amen. Don't be ashamed to stand for God. Don't be a dictator. We do it according to the word of God. So rely upon him and stand in faith that you have in Christ. Be bold. Be bold as a lion. And you can get that as you step forth. The Holy Spirit will give you the boldness you need to go forth and be a witness in this dark world right now. Little story here. When the Japanese captured General Jonathan Wainwright during World War II, they put him in a concentration camp. There they treated him cruelly, and he became broken and crushed and hopeless and starving, a starving man. Then the Japanese surrendered and the war ended. The U.S. military sent an army colonel to the camp where he personally announced to the general that the Allies had defeated Japan and that he was free, and now he's in command. After Wainwright heard the news, he returned to his quarters and was confronted by some guards who began to mistreat him as they had done in the past. Wainwright, however, with the news of the Allied victory still fresh in his mind, declared with authority, "No, I am in command here. These are my orders."
Glory. That's a bad word.
From that moment on, General Wainwright was in control. The good news of the enemy's defeat and his freedom made all the difference in the world. It turned General Jonathan Wainwright, a broken and hopeless man, into a whole and complete man. And you can understand, I can understand, if you're struggling in your spiritual walk as a man, stand up and become a man and take authority according to the word of God in your home.
Yes.
According to the Bible. In the same way, when you realize that Christ defeated Satan on the cross and set you free. Did you know you were set free from whatever thing that the enemy would try to make you think that you're bound with? You now take authority. You take authority over the evil one. Be encouraged, people, because God gave us freedom from bondage, freedom from guilt, freedom from futility, freedom to serve a living God. And you can be all that God has called you to be as a man because you are set free when you are in Christ Jesus. You have the ability to lead your home and to lead wherever you are the word of God, to be that light, to be that shining light, and to be that salt in a dark world. You've got that ability because the Holy Spirit has set you free.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Yes.
We need to serve God.
Yes.
That's why we're here at Crossfire.
Yes.
Man, that's why God has given us a building.
That's
why we have things to do. There's things that got to be done. It's all for God. It's not for me. What you do for Christ in this church is for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for him. If there's paper on the floor, let's keep this church clean. It doesn't take a janitor to have to do it. We can all do it together. It's much easier.
Amen.
You can help outside. If you see weeds around the church, and there are. If you got a free 10 minutes, just bend down and pull a few of those suckers out. And pretty soon we won't have any weeds. So stand firm in the knowledge and change your world instead of let it change you. I'm sick and tired of seeing men of God, especially behind pulpits, that even today as I'm talking to you, have allowed the world come in and change them. They've become like the world. And that breaks my heart. It's got to break God's heart. The world needs to see men of God standing firm in the faith. And we're watching before our very eyes men that are not standing firm, who are letting the world change them. Pastors leaving their pulpits, becoming homosexuals, transgenders. They're leaving their pulpits. They've allowed the world to creep in because they got away from the Word of God. 31 years ago, a man named William Willimon described the state of the church in his day, which still applies today. He said, because we have been so willing to accommodate the message of the Bible to the limitations of contemporary culture, the modern world does not regard the church as a threat. I suspect that it regards us as merely boring. We are giving the modern world less and less in which to disbelieve because it senses no difference between what the church is saying and what is being said by a variety of secular voices. Thus, the modern world is not called up actively to decide for or against the church because it sees so little against which to take a stand. The world which won in prison, our ancestors now responds to an utterly incultured church with mere indifference. They don't care. They're bored. We're nothing. We need men of God, fathers standing up in the homes, saying no to this if it needs to be and yes to this and whatever, leading their wives, loving their wives, respecting and honoring and doing what God's called us to do. And people, we can get our society back. But we need to turn to Christ and to repent. As men of God, we've got to get back and do what God's called us. We're in serious times in this nation. Stand in the faith and so stand against the world. Refuse to bore the world. I don't allow people to be bored if I'm witnessing to them. Don't ever let them get bored. The reason the world's bored is because many Christians have become bored. They do their Sunday morning thing and they're gone and they don't speak his name anymore. But I tell you what, that world's full of people that need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
I love going out there. If somebody said, do you drink? I say, no. Do you want to know why? And they always say yes. And I say, well, since you said yes, I'm going to tell you. And then I share the gospel.
Yes.
And that's what they're looking for. They learn to respect you when you stand for your faith. The world doesn't respect you and I as men if we kowtow. They don't. They're bored with us. That's why they're getting so bold themselves out in the world and on the politicians and all. And they're no longer hiding things. They're coming out and they're expressing their filth to the world because men of God have sat in the church too long and got bored. Amen? I'm just giving you truth. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's truth. It's truth. Instead, make a difference in the world as you depend on Christ. I depend on Christ each and every day when I go out into the world. God, who are you going to lead me to today to share the gospel with? That's exciting. If you're bored, go out and witness. Just go downtown Minneapolis, start witnessing. You won't be bored anymore. Done it. It's exciting. Been in Chicago, same thing. Go down there and start witnessing. Do street witnessing. You'll find out it's not boring serving Jesus.
Right.
You're going to hear things you never thought you'd hear. You're going to see things people want to say to you never thought they'd want to say to you. But it's not bored because you get excited because you know the Holy Ghost is activated in you and he's touching and he's reading hearts and minds. It's not you they're getting freaked out about. It's who you're talking about and the Holy Spirit is backing his word. That's what it means to act like men who are part of the cure. In other words, lead by example. Lead by example. So first, stay awake. Second, stand in the faith. And third, be strong. Be strong. Be mentally tough to dominate the forces of evil. They're all around us right now. In Ephesians, Paul prays in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We need the Holy Ghost to strengthen us. Amen. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I got the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis power living in me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in me. It's in you if you're born again.
That's awesome.
We've got the power to stand up and be men of God in this dark world that we're in right now. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. People, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the power of God. And you need to get back into the Word if you're not. You need to take it and read it daily. And like Mia was saying, it doesn't have to be three chapters. It can be a verse. And the Holy Ghost can change your life forever if you allow him to speak to you. Man, we're in a battle against the spiritual forces of evil. They're trying to take our homes, take our families, and everything else. And even though we're a small church, we can be a big church. God starts out with just a few. How many know he started out with 12 that set the world upside down? So don't look at it and say, what's the use? We're just, no, we're many. We're many. And I tell you what, you'll encourage somebody else that's weak in their faith. If you're sitting in a restaurant, share the gospel. It'll encourage maybe a brother in Christ who has been weak in his faith and say, hey, if he can do it, I can do it.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Don't apologize. I was in Elk River in the Perkins. There's three guys in the booth right behind my wife and I. And they were doing what sinners do best, they swear. And they're using God's name. I did the same thing. I don't judge them or condemn them. I want to win them. But they were doing it, and it was offensive in the sense when they used God's name. And I simply just turned around, and I didn't do it in a nasty way, a bad way. I just simply said, sirs, I really appreciate quit using God's name in vain. I love the Lord. He's my Lord and Savior. And you could hear a pin drop right there. And all the while we were in there, not one word was said that we could even hear from those three men. It's because the Holy Ghost in me has the authority to bring down the evil that God has put in the hearts of men. But I had to give the Holy Ghost the opportunity to speak through me. I can do it. You can do it. I'm just a shy little guy from South Dakota. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Hallelujah. Boy, that's good. Was that 6:14?
Romans 10:17. It says, chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. Our faith is so important. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That can be diverse things coming into your home, into your personal life, or whatever. And you've got the power by the shield of your faith, but that faith needs to grow. My faith needs to grow. Things are going to come against your home as you grow, as should Jesus tarry, as young people are growing and getting older too. Their faith needs to grow. The battles are going to get stronger and harder, and we need more and more faith to outdo the fiery darts that are being shot against us in our homes. And in that moment of time that I spoke about earlier, your world can go upside down within a moment's of time. Is your faith going to be ready to take it? You need to grow and use the shield of faith because the enemy is work. He's not backing down right now, people. He's roaring like a lion to put fear in the masses right now. It's time for you and I to stand up and to sound the alarm and to be men of God. We don't need men surrendering to world demonic spirits of homosexuality and transgender and drag queens and influencing our generation of young boys. And that's what they're thinking what a man is. I don't want any little boy in this church to see me like that, and none of you. And I know we got men of God in this church. I'm probably preaching to the choir, but that's okay. I like preaching to choirs too. Yeah. Based on a true story of an army commander in Vietnam, We Were Soldiers, if you saw the movie, with the story of Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore leading his troops into one of the bloodiest battles in American history. At the beginning of the movie, Moore gives a stirring speech to his troops. Let us understand the situation. We are going into battle against a tough and determined enemy. I can't promise you that I'll bring you all home alive. But this I swear before you and before Almighty God, that when we go into battle, I will be the first to set foot on the field and the last to step off. And I will leave no one behind. Dead or alive, we will all come home together. So help me God. Not long after Moore is on the battlefield, Army headquarters realizes they made a mistake by attacking the enemy that's far too strong for them. As intensifying enemy fire eliminates air support, the officers back at the base decide to send in one last helicopter to evacuate Moore, leaving his men behind to be overrun by the enemy. When headquarters radios the orders for Moore to take the last helicopter back from the front line, he's outraged. He grabs the radio and barks into it. I am in a fight. I object to this order. I will not leave my men. Then he slams down the radio and returns to the battle. Moore takes his remaining men on a daring charge deeper into the enemy territory. It turns the tide of the battle and leads to a dramatic victory. Men of God, we've got to go deeper into the territory and attack the enemy. He's attacking us. We need to go and attack him at all cost.
Yes.
Moore had the mental toughness to stay with his men and take the battle to his enemy. Men, as you depend on the Lord, develop the mental toughness to stay with your men, your brothers in Christ, your family, and take the battle to the enemy of your soul, the devil himself. We're under attack. The home is under attack. The church is under attack. The nation's under attack. The world's under attack. Men of God, fathers today, stand up and be what God has called you to be in your home. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm asking you to be men of God according to the Word of God. I need to work on it. You need to work on it. Don't give in to temptation. James 1:2 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Do you love Jesus? I do. I'm not ashamed of him one bit. In here, out there, wherever. He saved me. With the help of God and your brothers in Christ, encouraging, it says in James 4:7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil's a coward. Is all he can do is roar and put fear in people. People are led by fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. We have the authority as men of God to stand against the enemy in our homes, in our work, in our schools, in our churches, wherever. Oh, how many know the devil comes to church?
Yeah.
You bet he does. He's working on a lot of people, even when they're church. He's putting thoughts in their mind. How'd I know that? I'm human just like you. That's what it means to act like men who are part of the cure in our world today. So now, first, stay awake. Second, stand in the faith. Third, be strong. And finally, do everything with love. Do everything with love. Let undying compassion motivate all you do. Have a passion. I heard the passion from Mia and Isaac today, their passion to reach these college students for Jesus Christ. They're motivated by the love of God that's in them to go share that good news, and we're going to be part of that. We're going to reach young people, and we may even see some of them come in here. I hope and pray to the Lord we do. God's doing a new work. Show loyal, unconditional love in all your actions. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I got to give you another short story. Phillips Brooks once said, duty makes us do things well, but love makes us do them beautifully. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Men, just don't do things well. Do them beautifully. Do them beautifully. Men, be that light for others and let God's grace flow through you. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be an expert in that at all, but you need to care. People know when you and I care. They know when we witness to them. They know when we share the gospel, do we really mean what we're telling them? Has it really impacted our life that I can go out and share with somebody that's hurting and crying and dying? And that can be a brother in Christ or it can be a lost person. I'm not talking about unchurched. I'm talking about lost. People are lost without Jesus Christ. That's what it means to act like men who are part of the cure. Stay awake. Stay awake. Stand in the faith. Be strong. And finally, do everything in love. So in conclusion, I got to stop it. I don't know how long my conclusion is going to take, but there it is. Carl Sandburg, a famous American poet, wrote a biography of Abraham Lincoln. In that biography, he wrote, "Not often in the story of mankind does a man arrive on earth who is both steel and velvet, who is as hard as a rock and as soft as drifting fog, who holds in his heart and mind the paradox of terrible storm and peace, unspeakable and perfect. Lincoln possessed both a will of iron and a heart of tenderness. Nothing deterred the president during the American Civil War from his noble cause, and few persons have ever endured more criticism and detractors than Lincoln. Yet with all that steel, he was also a man of velvet." When General Robert E. Lee surrendered his army, Lincoln said an unexpected message to the enemy commander. "Tell your men they may keep their horses. They'll need them for plowing," said the president. "Then this, tell your men they may keep their rifles. They'll need them for hunting." When Lee read those words, he wept. True men of God. True men of God stood for what they believed.
Yes,
were strong. They stayed awake. They knew the enemy was all around. They were aware of any attacks against them. But they did it in love, knowing they wanted to share. Tough and tender resolve and compassion, velvet and steel. Be that kind of man. Now, only one man in all history achieved that perfect balance between strength and gentleness, power and compassion, and that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only man that has achieved it. We got to work on it. But Jesus achieved it. That's why we can look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because he's the one who achieved to be what it is to be a man when he walked the earth also. He showed us the way. He showed us how to protect our families, how to lead our families. Bill Crowder in Our Daily Bread recently wrote about the day religious leaders confronted Jesus, urging him to condemn a guilty woman in John chapter verse 8. On that day, Jesus showed steel by withstanding the demands of a bloodthirsty mob, turning their critical eyes upon themselves. He said to them in John verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 7, "So when they continued against him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone." I can see, almost see Jesus doing that. "You be that without sin, you cast the first stone." Then Jesus modeled the velvet of the compassion by telling the woman. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He said that compassionately to her. That's a true man. That's what a man of God will be. So more than anybody else, Jesus modeled what God calls every man to be, a man of steel and velvet. And one day he lets a little child sit on his knee, if you remember the story. Another day, he's overturning tables in the temple. One day, he lets a woman to pour expensive perfume on his feet. Another day, he stares down the forces of evil on the cross, dying for everyone's sin and defeating Satan once and for all. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask that all the men just come up to the front. We're going to say a prayer over all the men here, just like I did the ladies. I'm not a respecter of persons. All the men, come on up here. Ladies, as we did when you were up here, all the men had to look at the ladies, seeing how important mothers and women are in our society, and how God blessed us with moms and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, and your important role in the scriptures of what you, how you impact your children's lives for all eternity. And now it's the men up here. These are men. And a lot of these men, some of them I know, some of them I don't, but I can tell you one thing, like me, some of them have walked through storms of life. Some of them have been beat up. They've been ridiculed. They've been discouraged. They thought they lost all. But here they are right now in front of us here because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And ladies, I want you to agree with me in prayer as we pray for these men, that God will continue to use these men as mighty men of God. And he's going to open doors. I believe you are living in times where God wants to use men of God more and more. And many times when we're crying out to God for the needs we have in our life as men, many times is all we need to do is approach him and trust him that he's going to supply everything we need to be men of God in the home, in the job, in our society, in the church. It's going to be God. Amen, men?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we lift up these men before you right now. You created each one of them. You knew them before they were born. And Lord, you had a desire and still do to a plan for their lives to be used to glorify you upon this earth. You've given them the ability. It doesn't matter how young or how old they are. That makes no difference. Lord, you desire to raise up men of God, to be mighty men of God. Those are the older ones, Lord, if they have that wisdom you sent to them through from your throne room, let they begin to use wisdom to guide their homes. Let them be men of understanding. And Lord, let them use their knowledge of walking through this life, the journey through this world, to encourage young boys to be men when they grow up. Help these men to teach their young boys how to treat women. Lord, help us as men to learn to love. It's not being macho. It's being men of God and being able to show our love to our wives, our children, and others, Father, within the church. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint each one of these men that are here this morning. I hold them up before your throne of grace and mercy and ask, Lord, that you would pour out even this day, that they will sense something different as they leave this place today. And they will see the destiny that you put in their hearts to walk the rest of their journey on this earth, to be used of you to reach their families, their loved ones, co-workers, people, wherever they are. And even when they're by themselves, that they will be not tempted beyond temptation, that they will be able to shut off and turn off anything that will destroy their spiritual walk with you, Lord. Help us to be totally dependent upon you, Father, in the days ahead.
Yes. Yes.
Put warrior spirits in us, Father, not to kill, but to bring life to a dark world. Help us to open our mouths as men and not be afraid to lead our families. The man is to be the priest of the home. And Lord, I pray you help us to be that, but to be a loving priest, a guiding priest, one that will encourage our wives and our children to want to follow us as we follow you, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you so much for each one of these men today. I know my sisters in Christ behind them do too. And if there's those watching on social media, any men, I pray that same prayer for you. I pray for you that God will continue to use you in your ministries and your walk of life also. And Lord, so right now, we just commit our total lives to you. Say it, man. We commit our total lives to you. Father, I pray right now that you will touch every household that's represented here this morning. Meet all their needs. And Lord, the struggles that everyone may have in their life right now, you will bring it to pass.
Yes, this
they're not to look at the situation, yes, the circumstance. They're to look to you, the supplier of all their need.
Yes, Lord.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Lord, and all the things we have need of as men of God, you're going to add it to us. So, Lord, right now, let us be men that trust in you.
Yes.
I speak the blood of Jesus Christ over every man in their homes and over their wives and their children. And, Lord, that you will begin to do a work. And, Lord, let every home here begin to see supernatural advance begin to move in their lives and things happen to let them know that when we get serious with you, God, you're already serious with us. We draw close to you. You said you will draw close to us. And, Lord, we want to see you move, Father. We want to see you move in this world. And let us be part of what you're doing. And we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Men, look at each other, shake hands, and say happy Father's Day. And ladies, thank you very much. Look at somebody and say, I thank God for men of God. And if you have any, hey, if you have any questions for Mia and Isaac, they're here too.